Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
It's a well-oiled machine, dude. That's all I can tell you. Well, here we go. Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you'd just like to have a conversation with us about your experiences from the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage, hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We want to have a conversation with you. We love talking with drivers, no matter what kind of driver you are, male, female.
That's where you stop.
Of course, that's where I stop. But, I mean, it doesn't matter if you drive a big truck, a small truck, Uber,
a Prius
Lyft,
that identifies as a truck.
A Prius that identifies. No matter how you identify your vehicle, it's okay. We just want to have a conversation with you because this is what we do. Shipper, tell them about the voicemail line.
Voicemail line.
And then going to buy me a coffee.
Yes, sir. Voicemail line. 515-585-6375. 515-585-MERK. For those of you that don't like numbers. Anyway, leave a short story of anything crazy, wild, zany, goofy that might have happened to you, coworker, or
those you love.
Somebody you know, somebody you hate, you know. Whichever. If you have video, that'll help too. Anyway, yes, like I said, short story, 5-10 minutes. Anything longer than that, get a hold of us. Because us, as in Brian, is now scheduling.
Yes, he is.
And we'll put you on the show.
Yes, he will.
And while you're on the website, check out the Keep Us Fueled section. Keep Us Fueled section. Yeah. You know, keep us caffeinated.
We're a well-oiled machine here, man.
Yeah, well, oil prices are pretty high.
They are.
They shut down a couple of refineries.
This is recycled oil. That's right, what we got. That's why it's not so smooth. Viscosity's all gone.
I was going to say, this is chicken frying oil.
And reused by before being drained.
It'd be before biodiesel. Buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane.
Wow.
Buymeacoffee.com. Yeah, I couldn't see up top there.
That's hilarious, dude.
You know what? I need to keep this like this. This will work out.
There you go. Yeah, that way it gets
buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. It's a virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing and
if you
feel like contributing to the show,
have at
buy us a coffee, have at it. Yeah. If not, thanks for looking.
That's it. Yeah.
And then who was the person that you said was the latest? What was her name?
Well, that was Diana Oglesby.
Oh, all right. Well, just in case, you got a double shout out. Hey.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yep, you got that right.
You know, on the website, there's a gear section. Don't know what's there, but hey, you could check the gear section and leave a voicemail and let us know.
Yeah, how about let us know if there's anything there or not.
Right. Because
the one thing we know that's not there,
hats.
We've been promised
hats from a year now.
From HQ. We were promised from HQ, from the Big Mahoff, the Big Chief, the CEO, the CFO, the COO.
We're still working on stickers, too.
Yeah, we are still working on stickers.
Anyway,
we're working on everything.
We're on YouTube, Facebook, and all that other happy
Twitter,
crap.
X. Yeah,
Y and Z.
Well, we're really not. I mean, I don't think any of us actually to go on Twitter. I've never gone on Twitter. I don't even know how to.
Well that's,
I know it's the bird.
That's your virtually challenged problem.
That you know, is
other
my
people can zip
problem.
Right to it.
Yep.
Anyway, who's on the show today? Let's
today,
get to him.
Today.
Yes.
Today now. We're talking with Ryan.
Ryan. How Ryan? The hell are you?
Not bad, yo.
No, fair to mediocre. I say about 30, 60.
Yeah.
We're going to go 90 there today.
Wow, that's a full 90%.
It's a better than a 40-30.
How about it? That's not too bad. That's odd for Shipper, so you know he's doing pretty good if it's that high.
You know, I'm joined in stage by, you know, with Scratchy here, Scratchy voice.
Yeah, it's Itchy and Scratchy. It's Itchy Scratchy show.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, where are you? What geographic location are you calling us from?
It's in Maine. I live in New Sharon.
Up in Maine?
I'm from Sydney. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you actually have that stuff they have in the wintertime called snow, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm digging it right now.
Oh, really? That sucks. Yeah, that sucks. Because here in Pennsylvania, we got nothing. You know, Tennessee had more snow than we had.
Yep.
I just went to Indiana for a convention, and they had no snow, and I was stepping on the grass, and it was soft. I'm like, wow, this is different.
They have grass. What kind of convention were you at in Indiana? If I can ask, I don't mean to be too nosy, but I was just curious.
Oh, no, there's nothing about my job that is not a hidden secret.
Yeah, that's like ours.
They have a convention every year. It's called the WETT convention, wet convention, which is kind of odd when you go to register.
Yeah, I don't want to Google that right now.
Well, they asked if you wanted to be if you were a member of the wet show, and I'm like,
huh?
Depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Boy, that adds a whole new layer to that conference.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what we're here but it sounds like fun.
it's different.
Porno music.
Everybody walks around with a porn stash.
Yeah, I can get a whole another story on that one.
Oh, my word. No wonder my throat's going.
Yeah, you hear it?
So anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself, Ryan. Tell us, you know, like what you do and how did you get into it? How did you get into what it is that you do in the trucking industry?
What is it that he does?
He's going to tell us. That's why I'm asking him to tell us what he does. I know, right? Very leading, isn't it?
Okay.
Go for it, Ryan. The floor is yours.
So I haul septic, grease trap waste, basically anything liquid waste. It's I can't probably list off every single thing.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah,
you're like a honey dipper.
Yeah, it's mostly septic, and then there's like, you know, then there's like commercial grease traps,
right?
The externals, the internals.
Okay.
I go to Vermont for animal blood. I go to Rhode Island for what they call OWS, which is just basically they take landfill water off the landfill and run it through a system. They pull the gas and water as well, and then when they run the gas through the plant, they pull the water out of the gas, and that's what they call OWS. I don't know what it stands for, but there's we were hauling cow manure for a digester over in Clinton, and that was just basically you go to farms and you just pick up cow shit. And I don't know, I got into a mess of other stuff, like picking up biodiesel waste, like glycerin, unusable biofuel, food waste, anything. Basically, if you can put it in a tank and it's non-hazardous, I basically deal with it.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like that has got to be an interesting but messy job.
It is. if you don't do the right thing, you will get covered.
Oh, my word. I can imagine. Especially like the animal blood. I mean, I've gone to Vermont, but never for animal blood. That's not what I've gone to Vermont
usually for. Cheese and yogurt.
Yeah, and what else? Maple syrup.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just go for animal blood.
So, how did you get into that? I mean, how did your life, like, you know, how did you wind up in the trucking industry, and how did you wind up doing this for, you know, like, what led you? You know, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say is what brought you to do that for a living?
Yeah, so when I was, I don't know, five, whatever, my father drove for over the road a little bit, mm-hmm. for exterior carriers. He got tired of that because never home, wasn't making much money doing it. So he came back. My grandfather started a septic business back in the 50s.
Okay.
And so my father went to work there, and he just stayed there long enough where that was just, he was just good at it. And I always rode around with him, and I was always the kid that ran the valve. As you're pumping residential septic tanks, you got the guy at the tank, right. And then you got me at the valve.
Right.
So that if there is a problem, I can at least try to stop it.
Right, right.
So basically all my life, I just wanted to be a truck driver.
Yeah.
And I lived and breathed trucks. That's all I did. And that was basically all I was around. And I went to, my dad had a friend at, the DMV,
mm-hmm.
and he told my father, he's like, you know, the legal age to get your CDL is 16. Like, you can get it at 16.
Right, driving interstate.
So, me being an idiot, I applied for my class one, mm-hmm. before I even applied for my class three. Well, I say class one, class two, class three, because that's what I'm used to hearing.
Right.
When everybody gives me crap because it's now A, B, and C.
Right, right. That's the old school way of it. Yeah. Right. The one, two, and three. Yep.
And so I went for that. Well, I failed it the first time. Uh-huh. Well, I failed the permit because of, you know, just I was never very good at tests, and the way they do it, it's confusing. Mm-hmm. They try to make one answer the same as the other, blah, yep. blah, 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 blah. Yep. So I failed it, and I said, screw it. I'll just go for my C. That way I can just get it over and done with, and mm-hmm. at least that I can drive a pickup truck. So I ended up kept trying. And finally, I ended up getting my permit.
Good.
And then once I got my permit, of course, I've been, you know, moving trucks and driving them in the yard and stuff like that. So once I got my permit, I felt like I was all set. Uh-huh. Once I got over the test, I was good with the driving part. No issue whatsoever.
Awesome.
So at 16, I got my class one. And then I couldn't drive for anybody because of my, you know, everything being to do with the insurance, and
right,
I was too young for insurance. So, right. Which I thought was kind of odd. What's the sense of getting your license if you can't even be on the insurance? So,
right, right. This kind of, it does seem senseless. Yeah, that's a good point.
So when I turned 18, I was able to get on the insurance, which was a lot of money, but my father was willing to do it just because family business, mm-hmm. and he was like, "I'll forget. I'll spend the money." So, got right out of the gate. I was driving trailer trucks, and that's what I do since then. So,
wow,
however many years that's been. I'm 35 now. So,
oh wow,
that so many like, years I've yeah. I've had it.
Holy cow! I mean, you figured,
and doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you got your permit when you were 16. You were able to draw, you know, you had your license. So you're 35. That's what, 19 years.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Going on.
And you're young.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap, you're 35. You've been driving for 19 years. Holy crap.
You got another 40 in you.
No, that's awesome.
It's extremely odd when you're, you know, like you get guys that want to get their class. Well, this is before the state changed the laws to having to go to school.
Right.
But used to, you know, you just teach guys to how to drive, and once they got their permit, they'd ride with me, and course, I'm like 21, 22, and these guys are 40s.
Right.
It was a little odd. I felt good, but they definitely were not feeling the same as I was.
Yeah, so. kind of make them feel a little inadequate. Like, what the heck? This freaking teenager's teaching me how to drive. You know, that's awesome. It literally is really cool, dude. I mean, it's neat that things worked out for you like that. I mean, you had this passion in you from the time you were a kid to do it. And so, you know, you did it, you know, and you persevered and you did it. You went through it and you got your tests all done and you know, and you're making a living doing it.
Yep. I failed my permit test 4 times. And
really,
that was devastating. But once I finally got over that hurdle, it was easy after that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody has a problem with different stuff. It's just the way it is. It's, you know, that's life. You know, it's like, and you persevered through it. That's the thing, is that you actually did it and you didn't let that deter you from doing what you wanted to do. And I think that's important. That's a good thing. You know, that's a good lesson in life.
Yeah, some days I wonder if that was the right course of action to take. But
we all think that.
We all think that, but you're only 35. You're going to be thinking about it a lot more.
Give yourself 10 more years. Yeah, but no, it really is. And of course, you know, that's the trucking industry. But you know what? I think deep down, everybody, no matter what they do for a living, you know, because, you know, they always tell you, well, find something you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life. Well, I'm still working. So, you know, it's just the way it is. But it's just life. But I just think, you know, to me, it's just interesting that you actually did it and you got through all of that stuff and all that's kind of set aside. So let that be a PSA to people that, they, you know, if there's something you want to do, don't let anything deter you from doing it. Right, Chip?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but here I'm just thinking this out in my head here.
You're thinking this out?
When your tanks are full,
are you hearing an echo?
I'm hearing an echo. You take that to the wastewater treatment plant, you know, to get unloaded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything we haul goes to Madison.
Wastewater. Okay. I'm just thinking here.
You're just spitballing here.
He brought the crap in. Okay. Yeah. They
cleaned it.
They cleaned it a little bit.
They cleaned that crap.
And then the residual waste goes back out on another truck on a trailer, usually, if I'm not mistaken. I know that's how they do in the city of Bethlehem.
They do it, dry it out, so it goes on a trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Well, so this is how the treatment plant does it. So okay. I dump into a hose. What's up?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh. So I dump through a hose. Mm-hmm. They've got 3 lines. They got one is a bypass, one is a regular receiving, and another hose is for landfill water because it's already filtered and blah blah blah. So it doesn't have any sand, rocks, debris, anything in it. So that one line has to be only for certain loads.
Okay.
So all the septic, the grease, the blood, the toilet waste, which is porta potties, anything like that goes either into the receiving or it goes down the bypass. And most of it has to go through the receiving because the bypass is basically only an emergency.
Right.
So when it goes into the receiving tank, they pull it out. They run chemicals through it, like polymer. I can't think of the other name of the.
Yeah, you don't have to get technical.
So then they turn around and either put it on a belt press or a screw press, and the screw press turns slow, but the product coming out is like a 35%. So it's 35% dry.
Okay.
Which is it's extremely efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part about a screw press is it turns so slow that the parts doesn't wear out so quick. Whereas, you know, like they've got all kinds of different things. They've got fans, they've got, belt presses. They've got all, you know, there's probably 20, 30 different ways of, you know, cleaning separating the sludge from the water.
Okay. Right.
And when the sludge separates through the screw press, it goes into a dump trailer, and then the water then goes over to a lagoon, which then just kind of floats along. And they claim it takes over a year from that gallon to enter one end of the lagoon to the other end, which is probably 500 feet long. Okay. It takes a year for it to get to the other end. And then it goes into what they call a polishing pond. And then once it meets a certain standard by the state, then they are allowed to dump it into the river.
Right.
Oh, okay. So that it basically cleaning it. I mean, going through the different processes of those ponds, or, you know, whatever. I guess you call it a pond, right?
Yeah, holding pond.
A holding pond.
Yeah, like a leech pond, whatever. Let it settle.
Kind of lets everything kind of settle to the bottom, right?
Yeah.
I imagine at some point, then they come along and they suck the sludge out of the bottom of the pond every now and then. They clean the pond.
Yeah, they call that dredging.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Okay. That makes sense. It's funny because for a really short period of time in my driving career, I worked for a company called MPW out of Hebron, Ohio, and they ran suck trucks, and we would go to power plants,
right,
and suck up the coal dust. And
yep,
we went up to a place here in PA, and it was a whole it was like one of those ponds that you're talking about, where everything had leached to the bottom, and then you were in there to suck up all the bottom stuff. But I only did that for a month or two.
you were glowing when you were coming home.
Yeah, that was the, it was, I'm just like, no, this is not, this isn't for me. Yeah. It just wasn't for me. You know right. what I mean? Like, cause it was very sporadic. I didn't work all the time. It was just, one of those, it was not steady, and it right. drove me crazy. I'm like, I got kids I got to take care of, So,
but why I brought this up was, the same thing as this, City of Bethlehem's wastewater plant.
Right.
They do virtually the same thing, and the sludge goes out on a trailer. Uh-huh. Right? So, it might come in on a pipe, right. But on the outskirts that people, do septic and everything, they come to that plant and they dump it also. So that's why I just wanted to make sure, this was almost the same process. Mm-hmm. But, and then that dirt, that sludge, whatever they call it, left over, the residual gets trucked out. So it literally comes in on a truck and goes out on a truck.
But where does it go? what do they do with that? What do they do with that residual waste?
Probably landfills.
Landfills?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious.
I didn't know if that went someplace. Rather than using good dirt you can grow something with, use the number two dirt.
And grow something with it.
This way it sticks to the liner. That way it doesn't slide off the liner.
I guess it doesn't. No, that's for sure. So.
Well, we got our own treatment plant right here in New Sharon. But the problem is the treatment plant we haul to now, it's cheaper just to haul it to the treatment plant because I never have to touch it. I don't have to add chemicals.
Right.
I don't have to do anything like that. So it's cheaper for me to just haul it to the treatment plant versus me having to deal with it over and over again, because it's the same deal. Because I would run it through a dewatering box, which then turn around and the water would then get trucked off again to the treatment plant, and then the sludge would get trucked off to the treatment plant as well.
Okay.
Right.
But the difference is I can... Through the dewatering box, I can take one trailer load of septic and run it through the dewatering box 8 times. So I can take 8 loads and run it through the dewatering box and then turn around and get, because I call it by loads for 8,000 gallons. But I can pump the dewatering box with a 4,000 gallon truck and haul the sludge to the treatment plant. So I can turn 8 into 1, or half of 1.
Right.
Wow.
Plus then,
but it's still not cost effective.
Right.
Right. That was the next thing I was going to get to. Yeah. Doing that way, it's going to affect your bottom dollar as far as, what you're charging John Q customer to come out and pump out their septic tank. Say it's $300 to pump out a tank. He does it this way with all the running around the trucks. Well, now maybe he's charging $450.
Years ago when we had a septic tank, it was $125 to get it pumped.
Yeah.
But that's a long time ago. It's been a while.
That was a long time ago.
when we first moved in out here in the middle of nowhere in Shoeville.
Right.
You know, it was, yeah, it was a lot cheaper then.
And yeah.
Then they installed these.
I had an issue with a septic tank once.
Did you? I never had an issue with mine. I was really surprised.
The issue was nobody ever said to me.
Clean it out every now and then?
Yeah, to pump it out. Because it was just my wife, the wife and I, and then we had the kid. And when I started having an issue, all right, they said, get it pumped out. All right. Yeah. When the guy came, there was no liquid. It was
solid.
Oh, it was solid.
Wow. What do you do? What do you do with that,
and
Ryan?
And the guy said to me, he says, the first thing he said, he says, when was the last time you had this pumped? I says, buddy, I says, you're the first guy.
what do you mean?
Pumped. Right. I told him, I says, you're the first time I had this pumped out.
And how long were you there?
It was 19 years.
Wow.
And he literally used the water, the wastewater that was in his truck to pump, to backwash and fill my tank so he could get it softer that he could pull it back out.
Wow.
And into his truck. I mean, he was there. He was there a good hour, but the guy was good. He says, "I'll get all this." He says, "It's just a matter of if I had enough water in that." He says,
"And a big enough truck."
Well, he had the big enough truck, but
I'm
you
being
know,
facetious.
But he, you know, he had said, he says, "You know, this is supposed to get pumped out every other year."
Yeah, every 2 years.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, of course, every, you know,
yeah, 2 years. Yeah, every, yeah.
I don't know if it's in PA or if it's just Berks County or something like that, but they made it that you have to do it every 2 years.
It must come down to that.
It just must be your county. Well, it that's how it was at like the last 2 years that we had the septic tank. But
he got it all. He says,
that's amazing.
I've never seen one this bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't get like backwash into the house for your, you know,
the whole thing was the vent pipe. When the wife would do laundry, you would see the soap come out of it.
Right.
And I'm like, that shouldn't be. It must be.
Nope, it should
must be almost full. So, you know, that's why.
It's a little drain off.
You know, I was thinking I'm the homeowner. I'm being proactive here. Yeah, let's get this pumped out.
Yeah.
And
let's just flush some of that Ridex down the drain.
We didn't even use that. Well, when he dropped the hose in, it went punk. And we're only at 6 inches from the manhole cover. He says, we got a problem.
What we have here is a whole tank full of kidney stones.
He says, that's a lot of crap.
Wow. Have you run? I imagine you've had to run into that kind of problem, haven't you, Ryan?
So many times.
See, so I'm not the only one.
It's just funny because I think it's so odd that when you buy a home that has a septic tank, they don't tell you.
Yeah.
Nobody tells you anything because they didn't tell me either. I just found out in talking with some of the people around here, which I rarely do. I'm not a big neighborhood talker guy. It's like I live in a house between a church and a woodworking shop, so I don't have any specific neighbors. So, you know, I have to go out of my way to actually talk to the neighbors. It's like, and, you know.
Yeah, so, one neighbor's only here on a Sunday.
That's right. And it's a bunch of them. And then they go home.
And then they go home in like 2 hours.
So in doing what you do, like what are some of the things that you have seen? What are some of the crazy and the catastrophic? I mean, you've got to have seen some of these crazy, like things have just got to have happened. I know when I was doing the suck truck thing, the one guy drove right into like the mud and like the whole truck, we had somebody come out and tow the truck out. I was like, dude, you weren't supposed to go there. The whole truck was leaning over sideways, almost falling. Wow. I could not believe it. I was like, I've never seen this
before. He was in soft crap.
He was just definitely in soft crap, but then he was also in deep crap.
Yeah. So, exactly.
I'm kind of curious, like what kind of things have, like, you know, the crazy aspect of what you do, because I know that there's got to be a crazy aspect to what you do, Ryan.
Well, there's I've got quite a bit of odd things I've seen and odd predicaments I've been in. Well, we were at there's a place over in can't remember the town, but it's called Hermit's Island, and we were pumping vaults. What vaults are is at a campground, you know, you got the built toilets over basically a septic tank.
Okay.
And we just go in and pump out. The problem is they don't make access. You have to go through the toilet.
Really?
You have to flip the lids up, go down through, because it's just a big hole.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you go down through that.
Kind of like an outhouse, but it has a vault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so we were pumping that one day, and all of a sudden the hose jerks. And didn't think anything of it. Mm-hmm. Pull it up. Because, you know, you get all the, you know, people just throw everything in there. And so we thought it was like a bottle or something like that.
Right.
Because usually you pull it up and you kick the trash off the end of the hose and then you keep going. Well, we pull it up and all of a sudden it's just this big mound of hair. And just kind of odd that it was still together.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was just a big ball of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like a wig or something. And pull it up, and it ended up being a porcupine.
Wow.
Well, the truck built so much vacuum on that hose that you could hear it cracking. And all of a sudden, it just whips around the hose because it's a 4-inch hose.
Uh-huh.
It curls around the edge of the hose. And it sucks it inside out, and it's just slow motion. It just curls in, and all of a sudden, it's like you just pulled all the guts and everything out of something, and right through those.
Gone.
Wow. It just emptied it out. Wow. That's a diet plan. Wow.
That's a liposuction 505.
Well, you got that right. Holy cow. Wow.
And then there was one time there was a skunk. That one was rank.
Oh, I bet. Oh, my word. That, yeah. Well, that's rough.
Because everything that goes into the tank has to be exhaust. So any smell that's inside the truck goes right through the exhaust, and then it's just out and everywhere.
Wow.
So you're spreading the smell for quite a few miles.
Well, and now, when you go and you dump that, That whatever's in there is in there, and that's just going to get put into the pond that you're offloading it into, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, it's just going in. It's all going to, you know, kind of work itself out in the end, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like when we dump, we use a 6-inch hose. That way, anything big
just bulky
goes
stuff
through. And
yeah.
Yeah. And once it gets into their tank, it doesn't matter to me because I don't have to worry about it.
Yep. But, I heard that.
They just use a lot of Zep chemicals to thin it out.
Yeah. So
when you haul blood, where do you don't take blood to the same place. That goes someplace else, right?
Yep. Same place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The only reason I haul that blood is because the state of Vermont shut down land application for everything, septic, grease, blood, everything. Wow. So this company that does killing, they been looking for somebody to take it, and there's no treatment plant in the state that wants to deal with it.
Right.
And then the treatment plant I deal with, when the mill shut down, they were looking for everything under the sun to kind of keep the numbers up.
Right.
And so they just been poking and prodding everything under the sun. And then this big, I deal with Casella, and Casella's New England wide. And they deal with stuff like this. They'll find accounts, and then they'll find, you know, transportation, and then they find places to get rid of it. Well, Madison takes everything.
Wow.
Anything I haul is because Madison okays it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Is any of that now? I mean, I know that it's by some of the, like, it's all biological hazardous, right? But I mean, is it?
Yeah.
None of it is. It's not considered hazardous as though, like, you have to placard it hazardous or anything like that. Am I correct?
No. The only time my father got caught once, pumping a tank. I can't remember where the place was. It was someplace over in Booth Bay, I think. And it ended up having some green liquid in it, and he pumped it not thinking, thought it was just some dye.
Right.
And ended up being antifreeze.
Oh, wow. I guess.
And that did a number on the treatment plant, because once it goes through, it ruined any chemical that tried to touch it. It just couldn't separate it.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we've had cases of like motor oil and stuff like that, where, you know, you don't realize it until it's already in the truck. And then once it's in the truck, it's.
Yeah, you're screwed.
What are you going to do
there
with it?
Yeah, it's a done deal. It's already there. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Clean Harbors gets called, and it's quite a mess.
Yeah. Wow. I never thought about that. So stop dumping stuff down your drain, Chipper.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things that I don't think many people think about that. You know, like, people just have a tendency to just figure, well, I can dump this and, you know, it is what it is. But that's why you're not, that's why if you have waste oil, you're supposed to take it to a waste oil receptacle place. At least that's how it is in PA. I don't know if it's that way everywhere. Yeah. But,
you know, like my buddy has a garage. He burns it. He's got a waste oil heater.
Does he need some? I have a bunch of bottles from when the boys were still living up here.
Well, you could drop that even at the AutoZone. Oh. He'll take it. Yeah. You want to bring it to work and you need
car? Yeah, we burn waste oil in our garage.
Oh, do you really?
Right.
Does that how efficiently does that burn? I mean, probably not super efficient, but efficient enough, right?
I mean, it works out good, especially with the amount of trucks we got. Throughout the spring, summer, and fall, we collect a lot of totes of used motor oil.
Right.
Okay.
And then you burn them off in the wintertime.
Yeah, we just burn them through the winter. I mean, we try to set the garage 60, 65 because we got so many frigging totes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, at least it's getting used, you know, it's you know, kind of.
Yep. And they do burn pretty clean.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to maintain them.
Yeah.
You know, the oil burners.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know.
Well, I just.
Yeah.
It's a secondary use of the used motor oil.
Right.
I mean, you know.
At least it's getting used.
Like, look at Pitt, Ohio.
Right.
How many oil changes they do in a week? You know, that's 44 quarts on a clip. You know,
that's doesn't a lot
take,
of oil.
It doesn't take long to get 250 gallons or one tote, 300 gallons in a tote.
If you had a, you know, if your truck runs like my old Toyota did, it's like half of that.
Well, you know, half the oil's in the car, half the oil's on the motor, car. And the other half is on the road.
Underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming you just kept adding used oil.
Yeah.
No, it was
cheaper.
Actually bought new stuff. Oil change check.
You know, I should just use the stuff that was in the garage that the boys had used when they changed their oil.
I did that at the garage. We had a tow truck. It ran through oil like gas through a funnel. And I said, well, what's the difference? You know, oil's oil. We just put that. I put that in for a while.
Yeah.
And then they said, where'd all the oil go? That tow truck
underneath.
It would burn it. It would literally burn it. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Pumping out all that smoke. There you go.
Well, you know,
spreading it around.
Big 460 gas motor, you know, she's towing all the time. Man.
Yeah.
She took her toll.
Drive those kind of miles. It does have an effect. So when you're hauling I'm assuming you get the animal blood from like a slaughterhouse, you know, cattle or whatever.
Yep. Vermont packing.
Okay. And, how does that get collected there? Does that go down? Is that like a drain into a big tank,
a
big tank underneath?
Yeah.
So I never really went investigating through the place. Cause you know, you got the,
I got
it. It all has to be sanitized and stuff like that.
FDA so and all that. USDA and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm only allowed in a certain area, which is bad enough because I pulled the door open one day cause it's an overhead door. And I was getting ready to go in because I know exactly what I got to do. And I pull the door open, and all of a sudden, there's a cow head staring at me.
Oh, wow. That's a Hello Kitty kind of day.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to say, he pulls up to a valve outside the building. that hose he hooks to, and he just waits till his truck's full and turn the valve off, and away he goes.
Wow.
Actually, it's worse than that, Shipper.
Is it?
I have to, I have to pull the door, overhead door up, and I run my 3-inch hose in, and I have to manually pump the totes out.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Wow. Yeah.
So, and the problem is you got to try to keep the hose, you know, 2 or 3 inches into the blood, because if you just throw the hose in, now you got 4 feet of blood right
on your hose.
On your hose that you got to manhandle around. And
I mean, it's all right at Halloween, because it makes it for a good, you know, Halloween decoration.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
The rest of the year. Looks like a murder scene.
Yeah. Like a serial killer's truck driving down the road. Here we go. Wow. Oh, my
God. I got pulled over. Yeah. I got pulled over at the bottom of Maine after I left from all packing. And the officer asked me why I was avoiding the weigh station, which I wasn't. But anyway, he ended up getting me for overweight. Take it how it is. So he asked me what I had on, and you should have seen the look he gave me when I told him, yeah, I got animal blood on.
I bet. Yeah, I can imagine that look.
He was, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, look at the sight glass. So the sight glass on the back of the trailers. Just beet red.
Wow.
So.
Those ain't cranberries.
Like, oh, I didn't know you guys told
that. I didn't just get done pumping out a cranberry bog.
Ain't that the truth? Holy cow. Boy, you imagine. Can you imagine not that I ever want this to ever happen to anybody, especially you, Ryan. I just think to myself, what would happen if, like, an accident or a spill with something like that, you know?
There's blood all over the place.
It's like a murder scene. Yeah. It would literally be like, like you said, it'd be like a murder scene. I mean, But just the cleanup of that. I mean, that's.
Well, that's. That was when. That would be when. What did you say? Clean Harbors? The environmental guys with the white suits come out and do that. Yeah. You know, and then that gets ridiculous. Well,
I don't know. I don't. Anything I haul. I mean, yes. It's not, I did get into an accident one time in Scarborough. And I was coming back from. We haul off of individual septic pumpers. Like the guys that come to your house and pump the tank.
Okay.
That's basically how we built our business off of it. And I was coming back from there, and I was coming across Route 1, and this car was heading towards me in his lane, all fine and dandy, didn't think anything of it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he crosses the yellow line, and I'm thinking, buddy, catch yourself, you're daydreaming. And he got closer and closer, and I was like, because it's a 2-lane on both sides. Mm-hmm. So I was merging over into the right-hand side just to make sure that he doesn't catch me. And I made it all the way to the right-hand lane, and he followed me into the right-hand lane. And I realized at that moment in time, he was not daydreaming.
Wow.
So I ended up, because I have a bog on my right-hand side, and he's coming from the left. And I split decision. I'm like, instead of killing the guy, I'll go for the bog.
You're going bogging.
Wow.
And so last second, I went for the bog. He caught my left steer tire, shoved my bumper behind the steer tire, and then just bounced all the way down my truck. And my truck's doing a 90 in the middle of the road, and I'm still doing 30, 35, loaded. And I thought, sure as hell, that the truck was just going to go over. But it held it. And I made it over the oncoming lanes. And my truck rested up on a guardrail. And the guy lived. And I had all I could do to get out of the. Of course, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to get out my driver's side. And I ended up burning myself on the exhaust, and I should have just gone out the passenger side.
Wow. Wow. So that guy was he on a suicide mission? I mean, I hate to say that, but is that what that was about?
So a couple, I think it was like a couple, 3 months ago later.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped at the Irving's just up from where the accident happened.
Yeah.
And I was getting fuel or coffee or something. And this kid comes walking up to me and he says, "Hey, are you Ryan Doobie?" And I said, "Yep." He goes, "Do you mind if I talk to you outside?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay." And didn't really think anything of it.
Right.
And he told me who he was, and he said, "Oh, I'm the guy that crashed into you." And instantly I just got pissed off.
Yeah.
And but I kept it to myself. And he told me the story as to why he was the way he was. And I guess 2 months prior to the accident, he got into an accident with his best friend mm-hmm. and two girls, and they got T-boned by a trailer truck, and they got shoved down into a ditch, and his buddy was dead on his shoulder.
Wow.
When the ambulance showed up, and I guess he smacked his head so bad that he was in a state where it's a fog and you can't, not all of your day you can remember. Like, you just remember bits and pieces and you just black out, but you're still functioning, but you're blacking out.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I was like, "So what do you remember from the accident?" He mm-hmm. said, "All I remember was stopping here, getting gas, and realizing I forgot my wallet. I got in the truck, and that's when I blacked out. And then the next thing I know, I'm laying on the ground, people around me, I'm getting loaded into an ambulance mm-hmm. and yada, yada, yada."
Wow.
And then he said, after the accident with me, it's like something clicked in his head that made his brain back to the way it was.
Uh-huh.
So if it wasn't for the accident, he'd still be, that dazy fog and just like blacking out every now and then. But now he's just a full functioning normal person now.
Wow. Yeah.
Well,
thank God for that.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that nobody was seriously injured.
Right. Right. But wow. I mean, that's gotta be a horrifying thing for you to go through, watching this happen. It's coming at you. He's trying to,
Right. Well, it's like I said before in other shows.
Yeah.
Something like that happens. You're reliving that every time you're getting in that truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're reliving it every time you open the door.
Sure.
This is what happened.
Yeah.
This is what can happen today too.
Right.
You just don't know. You don't know.
It does breed a sense of reality to you.
And this day and age, that's why the question. Was it a medical emergency or mm-hmm. was it suicide by car? I mean? It might be morbid to say. People might be offended by reality. It, but it's not meant to be offensive. Of what it is.
It is reality.
Normal drivers do not aim for the biggest thing on the road.
And keep coming at you.
And keep coming at you and keep following you as you're trying to get out of their way.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I thought you were going to say when he got out of the truck, he tried stepping down, there was nothing there. Like, the battery box and everything was mm-hmm. gone, because, we heard that on another person that was involved in a fatality wreck where they bounced down the whole side of the truck.
Yeah.
And, for him to get out was, we all step on the battery box usually. And there was no battery box.
There, yeah.
It's 3.5-4 feet to the ground.
And then that was Ben, right?
Ben and Ben Hurd. Paul.
Oh, and Paul.
Yeah. But
when I got out of the truck,
uh-huh.
He ended up crushing my air breather on the driver's side, crushing my exhaust. He must have, I don't know how it happened, maybe because the front tire bounced him up mm-hmm. and he pushed on those things, but then he sent he put a hole in my fuel tank.
Oh.
Actually broke the bolts that hold the hanger to the frame on my front driver.
Wow.
He broke all but one bolt and it rolled the axle back and twisted the frame. And all he did on the trailer was bent my ladder to climb up the side of the trailer.
Wow. So all the damage was done to the most expensive part of the vehicle.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, but, yeah. But still, 35, 40 miles an hour, vehicle going this way, he had to be doing about the same mile per hour, you right. know, so impact 70.
But, you know, all that being said, nobody was hurt.
Right.
And exactly. that's really the thing that, you know.
There wasn't a fatality in the whole
thing. And, you know, I mean, for the other driver, you know, it seemed to have helped straighten him out a little bit and given him a little bit of clarity in his life. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you say? What do you say other than,
I'm glad I can say something, you know.
You got a cross-eyed
person,
you
know, sometimes you slap him in the head, the eyes come back into focus, you know.
Nice. You know, I mean, I'm just glad that nothing off my trailer came out.
Exactly. Because
I was in the middle of a bog, and I could not imagine trying to get 8,000 gallons of septic out of that bog.
Oh, yeah, my word. Yeah. Wow.
That would be a bad day for, what's today? Ocean Spray.
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be.
Or a whole new meaning to the word ocean spray.
Yeah. Yeah, that would not be so good a lot.
No, not a lot.
Wow. That's
me and my father went to Kangamangas Highway. State police called. This is years ago. Mm-hmm. State police called and said, "Hey, we need you to." This is like, I don't know, 11 o'clock in the morning, and they said, "Hey, we need you to come pump out a ball." And my father's like, "Well, can I wait until tomorrow?" "Nope, need you today. Need you right now. Doesn't matter how much it costs or what it takes to get here. We need you now."
Those are the words you really like to hear.
Yeah, so we took off and we went there, and the whole freaking time we could not figure out why the hell is it such an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And get there and it's fire engines, police cars. I mean, it looks like there's something serious happened, like a fire or, you know, a murder, whatever. And we pull in, of course, we're thinking, no, this is probably the wrong one. And pull in and come this way. We're going to show you what's going on. And, they walk us around the back of the outhouse, and there's a guy standing there arrested, covered in shit.
Wow.
And didn't think anything of it.
Right.
And the police said that this man says that there was a ring. He went into the toilet to get a ring. And he had waiters on, and he had a camera and all this stuff. And we need you to pump it out to see if that there's actually a ring in there. And my father goes, "Well, how the hell do you expect me to, you know, find a ring?
Right.
I'm just going to pump it dry. I'll bring it back to my dump station." And at that time we had a screen that could actually pick out a cigarette butt.
Wow.
And he's like, "Yeah, whatever you got to do." All right. Well, what it ended up being was this guy climbed down in there to take pictures of people while they're in the toilet.
Yep, exactly.
Get the heck out.
The minute you said he had a camera, it's like he's looking for a ring with a camera? Wow.
Never found a ring.
Yep, I figured not.
And the state police followed us all the way back to the treatment plant to pick up the ring.
Oh my word. Is that not crazy?
And we couldn't haul anything else.
Wow. Wow. That, you know,
I'm stupefied.
You know what that shows? It shows you the depths that some people will go for their depravity. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's like, wow, dude, that is desperation at a freaking level that I don't even want to come close to knowing. You know, it's like, whoa, I am not climbing into an outhouse.
Talk about fishing.
Take pictures of people's butts. It's just not happening.
You can pay people to do this, you know, it's a lot. Well, I don't know about cleaner, but it's more legal.
Yeah, you're not going to prison for that one.
I'm being on the registry.
Exactly.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Well, then they were arguing with the state police were arguing with who he's going to ride in the car with. That's a, they were out there with a fire hose, just hosing him down.
Oh my
god. And
word.
I'm just sitting there laughing.
Oh, oh, he's got boots on, he can ride in the tank of your truck.
He can ride on the roof.
Wow.
Oh my. That's a new one. That is a new one for me, man. That's a new story, dude. That's crazy. That's word.
That just takes poop stories to a new level.
That has just really elevated the poop story. All right, people, you got to start, raising the bar. Is now
here's
raised.
The bar. It's now reset.
Ryan has raised the bar. Oh, my
He's
word.
He's got the golden ring.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Oh, wow.
That is crazy.
So, what other adventure after that event drive? I hate to ask, what other adventures have you come across?
Right, exactly.
I haven't found a body. I haven't found a body that was breathing. But that was close. That was probably the most disturbing I've witnessed.
On a lot of levels, yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well. You said you haven't found a body that's breathing. Have you found a body?
No, that was the one that was basically found a guy in a tank.
Gotcha. Well, that's a heck of a reason to be in a tank.
I haven't found somebody trying to get rid of evidence of a murder.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank God for that.
I mean, not that I know of.
Right. And you know what? That's the best way to keep it. I don't know. What I don't know can't hurt me. So I agree with you. Yeah. Wow. I never thought about that. But I don't have a septic tank.
I mean,
anymore.
I hauled some pretty messed up stuff. Like, we used to haul, there was a manufacturer that made clipboards, aluminum clipboards, and the byproduct that they had could only go to there was only one treatment plant in the Northeast that would take it, and that was Passaic Valley over there in New Jersey, Newark. And that treatment plant is the biggest treatment plant I've ever seen in my life.
That's crazy. Well, it's
Jersey. Jersey. Enough said there.
Yeah. Wow.
And that stuff was so corrosive. It didn't need a placard, which I thought was odd, but it was so corrosive that we couldn't leave it in the trailer for more than a week or else it would start eating the trailer.
Wow. How is that not hazardous?
I could not figure that out. I don't know if it's something that after a while it turns corrosive. So probably after a week it would need a placard, but I don't know how they got around it. But
and I would imagine
at
something
the time,
like,
it was stupid money.
Oh, I can imagine. Holy cow. And I would imagine something like that would be because, like, they put caustic materials in plastic, your battery is a plastic battery and it's got acid in it. So I imagine maybe that's what they would hold something like that. And, after you deliver it, it's got to go into something. It's got to be held something. So I would imagine like a plastic tote or something.
Yeah.
Would that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Or a stainless steel tank or, anything that isn't
it's not going to corrode.
Corrode.
It won't. It won't disintegrate or corrode or whatever. Yeah, crazy. Wow, I can imagine what that paid though. Yeah, I mean that's the money pit that right there. That's the money pit. So
yeah,
holy cow.
I mean the next worst thing that we're hauling to this day is there's a landfill in Rochester, New Hampshire. We haul six loads a day of what they call RO. And all it is they take the water out of the landfill, they run it through the system, and it pulls all the mercury, the rust, basically all the nasty stuff that you can think of in a landfill. Of course, the landfill takes everything.
Right.
All that gets put into a tank. And we haul that, but it's not corrosive. And again, I don't know how this is non-hazardous because it is like battery acid. It is probably battery acid, but I'm assuming it's because it's so
diluted.
diluted. Uh-huh. That it doesn't classify under the same rules.
Wow, that is. I don't know. That's one of those weird things that you just think, you know, if it's got hazardous materials in it, it would, but you know, whatever. Yeah.
Well, like my niece's,
the solution to pollution is dilution. That's right, that's what the common phrase is.
Oh, that's true.
My niece's fiance works at a landfill, and they're forever, you know, with the liners. They're putting liners down,
right?
Big plastic liners before they even dump anything in.
Yeah,
to make sure that
the liquid does not leach into the
soil. Groundwater. Contaminated the water table.
That's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know, that's really
because
good.
Of just like, you know, what he's saying. You know, this stuff going in,
right?
You know,
and once it goes in, it ain't.
It's
coming
almost
out.
Like battery acid, but not really. Not the strength of it.
Yeah, but you don't want that in your drinking water.
Yeah, you know, or otherwise you have a Flint, Michigan on your hands.
Yeah, you do, in your own little backyard. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I have a well. You know, that's why when down the street from us, Ryan is a little chemical place where they just dealt in hazardous materials and stuff like that, right down, you know, on the other side of bridges. That's
why you have no hair.
they had a spill like 3, maybe 5 years ago, something like that. They had a spill there. I mean, it was a big thing about it. I mean, they were coming around. They were testing the wells. They were testing, you know, and they were like looking at the groundwater every few months just to make sure that nothing leached into the groundwater. And I was like, holy crap. I mean, that's how easily, you know, your groundwater can be contaminated.
Right.
You know, it's just it's that quick and that simple. And it's like, wow, this is just crazy. But, you know, thankfully it's nothing happened.
They've got this problem with the PFAS.
Yeah.
The what?
It's a forever chemical. It's anything in like Teflon, anything repels water.
Uh-huh.
That's what PFAS is. And the state just started cracking down on that stuff, and it just throws everything all to shit. Because it's now you can't land apply. You at the time only certain landfills would take certain sludge, because if you're a new treatment plant looking to go into a landfill, they have to test your sludge. If your test comes back positive for PFAS, you have to now haul that sludge to an incinerator that can burn it hot enough to get the PFAS out of it, which the closest one that I knew of was in Georgia.
Wow.
Oh, really? Wasn't even Ohio.
Okay. Or Jersey.
No, Jersey. Yeah. Jersey doesn't burn. They usually haul that crap over. You know, they haul it to Ohio.
I thought they had a big incinerator there in Newark.
Well, they do, but
that doesn't do that kind of stuff.
They don't burn that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I just assumed that they would. I didn't, didn't realize. What kind of temperature does it have to be burned at, Ryan? Do you know?
I was told over 1,700 degrees.
I was going to say 1,500. Wow. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so that's not just putting, you know, a couple logs on the fire and just dumping the stuff on. Yeah, that's that's gas fire, keep the fire cranking, you know.
Yeah, for a while.
No snow anywhere near that place.
Nope.
Holy cow. Wow.
And Georgia's the closest.
Yeah, that's a ways to go.
Well, that I knew of. They're trying to pop these places up everywhere that they can, because now PFAS is a huge thing, and everybody's just looking to try to figure out a way to treat it. Like my treatment plant, they're in the process of putting in a PFAS filter system. But they want two loads of their sludge hauled to Nashville for one, because they don't have pilot plants that they can just pick up, bring to you, set up, and then you can try it out to see how it works, see how effective it is. There's one in Nashville that they're looking to try.
Right.
And then there's one in Los Angeles that they're looking to try, and they want to haul two loads of sludge to Nashville, and then another time they want two loads to Los Angeles. And I'm like, well, you do realize that's going to cost some money.
Yeah. Oh, my
and
word,
like, no, it's fine. We got to, you know, we're going to set ourselves up to build one or the other. We just need to know which one is going to be more cost effective and do the what we want, and it's one of those two. So
wow.
We want to see what our sludge does at them, and they can't bring it to them, so we have to bring the sludge to them.
You got to take the sludge to the plant. Yep. Jeez.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That is
that's just what this world's coming to.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what this world is coming to. Holy cow. You know,
and just, the worst part is the people that pay the price are the ones that are just sitting in their house, you know, doing their everyday thing. And, you know, you get your tank pump for whatever it is. And then you turn around and next year, it's twice that.
Right.
Why?
Yeah, man.
Because of the state.
Yeah. What does it cost now to get a tank pumped out? Just a regular septic tank. Do you know?
No, it's up here. We usually do $225 a tank.
Wow.
Or $225 a thousand.
Yeah, that's what I paid.
Sometimes
that's
you get tanks that are $1,500 or twos.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot more than it was when we had ours. Like I said, ours, the last time I had it pumped out was $125. And I figured that wasn't too bad. Now, you know, with having the sewage, because we don't even have, I still have a well. It's just, you know, we pump the sewage out.
Right.
And
they bill you on the water.
$80 a month.
Right.
Yeah. I went from $125 every 2 years to $80 a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Wow is right. Plus it cost me $5,000 to put in the whole grinder thing. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
it's one of those types of systems. So yeah, so
no, they like I said, the PFAS is what's screwing everything up around here. I mean, I don't know about where you guys are from, but
I'm sure there's issues with that around here.
I would imagine.
Yeah. If you got it up there in Vermont, we got it here. Maine, Vermont.
Yeah.
All the same thing. Once you get past Massachusetts.
I find it odd that the state's forcing you to do your residential tank at every 2 years because, I mean, up here they haven't done that with septic, but they do it with grease. Like, Betty Grease Trap from my restaurant, they force their hand on. Your grease trap has to be pumped, depending on how bad it is, the first quarter, which is every 3 or 4 months. You know, they might allow you to go, you know, six months, might be a year, but it all depends on how, because you got to do a bunch of paperwork stating how bad the grease is.
Right.
And we send it to the state, and the state then looks it over, and then they determine whether you should have it done more often or not, but nine times out of 10, I always tell restaurants, you know, if it's, let's go a year, I'll bust my ass the first time, and then we'll back it down from there, and back it down from there. If it looks good in 6 months, we'll keep it there. If it needs to be backed down even more, then we'll, I mean, this tanks that I do, sometimes they're every month.
Wow. Wow is right.
Yeah.
That gets expensive.
That's a lot of grease.
Holy crap.
Well, and the state steps in and they tell you that you have to do it that often. So it's a guaranteed, you know, it's one of those deals where it's good for me.
Right.
Bad for the restaurant. But yeah, the state's just looking for control. And I get it. But it also works out good for me because it's an instant. I know every month I have to do that tank, whereas residential tanks, normally I tell people, well, if it's you, your wife, and you got two kids, which is an average home, I tell them 3 years. Well, the amount of times that I pump that one grease trap in 3 years supersedes that whole 3 year, you know.
Yeah,
once every 3 years, I go to pump that septic tank.
Right, waiting to pump a residential tank out, yes. I got what you mean. But, I don't know if it's down where Brian lives that it's a mandate like that. But
yeah, I think it's Berks County.
Berks County.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
But up our way, it's not, you know, whenever we decide.
Yeah, that's weird.
So.
That really is weird. Well, Ryan, this has been a fun conversation. And I appreciate you coming on and just kind of, you know, sharing some of what you do with us. It's been interesting.
Shedding some light on the number two world.
Yes. That's one way to say it. Yeah. So we really do appreciate it. I thank you so much, man, for coming on. If you ever want to come on again, just let me know. You know, just send me an email again or do it through the instant messenger or whatever. Just let me know and we'll get you back on.
Yeah, I'm definitely up for another round.
Okay,
cool. If you guys are looking for a boy to fill, I will do it.
Awesome. Good. That's great. Awesome. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you loosened up a little bit.
Yeah, now. You said like it's not so bad, is it?
It's not bad at all. We don't scare too many people.
Yeah, you did a great job, Ryan. You really did. I really appreciate you coming on. I really do. So
I appreciate you guys for having this because, like I said, I listen to this podcast. Whenever I go to like Massachusetts or Rhode Island, I can get 3 or 4 podcasts in before I'm done for the day. And
yeah,
it kills the time. Yeah. Listen to the radio.
That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
That.
Thank you very much.
I really, you know what? We really do appreciate the words of encouragement. We really do. Because sometimes
sometimes like today, Brian says, what the hell are we doing?
But no, it was great.
Well, there was a time I wanted to message you guys, but I was like, let's see how it goes first. And then maybe I'll message them at some point. And then it seems like they've got enough stories going on. And
do we never have enough?
Yep.
Never have enough.
Yeah. I never heard anything about septic, so I'm like, well, I'll throw it at him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's why it's an interesting subject, and it's one of those things that you know it's a necessary evil,
right?
You know, it's there and it's got a purpose.
They're calling Ryan when the shitter's full.
Yes, sir.
Either you or Uncle Eddie, one of the two.
Exactly. Well, listen, hang on for a second, Ryan. We're gonna close out the show. Just hang on with us, and then we'll chit chat for a few seconds afterwards. Right. Well, we hope everybody out there enjoyed the show. If they enjoyed the show, Shipper, what can they do?
They share the show. They listen to the show. They share it with everybody and anybody.
There you go, and share it on all the social media platforms that you can. And that's how the show grows. And if that's the show grows, that means we get more people coming on like Ryan to tell their story and talk with us about what they do and the crazy things that they've seen and the fun stuff that they've encountered. And we laugh and we talk and we just enjoy the time. And hopefully
we get more people. It's an educational show.
It is an educational show. And sometimes it's, it's just a show.
Yes.
It's just a show. Well, anyway, with all that being said, keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane.
All right. Good night.
You'll never guess the places that I've been. You'll never guess the places that I've been. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Never gonna let the day begin. Everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go, and I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams. I love. Never gonna lose the ones I love.
like a dream, yeah, but only in that world that I dream of.